This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson to the show. He is founder and president of BOND, and that is an acronym. He'll tell you about that later. He's author of the best-selling book, Scam, How the Black Leadership Exploits Black America, and the more recent book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. Jesse, welcome. How are you?
All is well. Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you on the show. Give our listeners a sense of geography. Where are you located?
I'm in Los Angeles, California.
Ah, my hometown. That's where I grew up. Good stuff.
Really?
Yep.
Where did you grow up in LA?
Oh, I lived in different places. Culver City, Fox Hills area, Mar Vista. Not very nice neighborhoods at the time. I heard they've gotten a lot nicer since I moved.
I'm right down the road from Culver City.
Uh-huh. Good stuff. Yeah. Good. Your more recent book is The Antidote, and you talk about, you know, healing America from hate, blame, and victimhood. It is amazing how, you know, certainly in the black community, these various black leaders, whether they be, you know, Al Sharpton, Maxine Waters, Jesse Jackson, et cetera, they're just play on this whole victimhood thing. Is this productive, Jesse?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, it has kept most black people down for the last 50 years or so, and because most blacks are angry, but they are angry at their mothers and grandmothers, and they are yearning for their fathers. The worst thing that can happen is to turn boys and girls away from their fathers, because when you do, you leave a void in their life for the rest of their life until they understand how to overcome that void by forgiving their mothers and grandmothers for what they have done to them and returning to the father. The worst thing that can happen is to be turned away from your fathers. And so instead of telling black Americans that they need to forgive their fathers, their mothers, they tell them that is racism, that is the white man. And so that anger that blacks have, they transfer that anger from their mothers to their white folks.
Well, I'm not sure I understand. Maybe you got to back up just a step here for the listeners and for me too. Why are they angry at their mother, or is it their mothers and their grandmothers? Certainly there's a fatherlessness problem in the black community. And some would argue that through programs like Aid to Families with Dependent Children, the government has encouraged that, right? They've destroyed families by incentivizing with money the breakup of the family.
Right. Free stuff and all that.
Yeah.
And the government become the daddy of the family.
Right. Just explain the resentment concept a bit here and the forgiveness, the need for it. I don't know that I understand that.
Well, most mothers, black mothers, and not just a black mother, but is out of control in the black community. Most black mothers and grandmothers are angry at their fathers because their mothers turn them away from their fathers. And because you become like what you hate, or whomever you're angry at, which is resentment, you become like that, but you also become subject to that type of a personality or spirit. And so a lot of black mothers and grandmothers who have been raised by their mothers, they're angry at them and they become like them. And so when they have children, they do exactly to their children what was done to them. And that is to impose their will on their children and causing them to become angry, become like them. And by turning them away from their fathers, deep down in their soul, they have a yearning for their fathers. Most people don't hate their fathers, but they yearn for their fathers. They have been told that they resent their father when it's really the resentment of the mothers, and they yearn for their fathers.
Interesting. Certainly Trump is no stranger to controversy, but when he was campaigning, his message, or at least one of his messages, to black voters was, look, vote for me. It couldn't be any worse. I mean, it's like you can't make this stuff up, right? That's a pretty astounding thing for a presidential candidate to say. But I'm not sure he was wrong, because the Democrats have just destroyed not only the black population, but every minority or, you know, yeah, purported victim population with identity politics and government programs and just these, creating dependency and so forth. What is your take on all that?
Quickly, I do want to say the forgiveness part is that when these folks can forgive their mothers and grandmothers, then God will forgive them. And he would take away the identity of their mothers away from them and return them to their fathers. And that's when they would be made whole again and feel free. President Trump was absolutely right about what he said. For the last 50 to 60 years, most black people in that father state of anger have been voting for the Democratic Party. And the Democrats have pretended to care about them.
Right.
And they tell them that you can't make it because of that old white man, because of racism. By the way, there's no such thing as racism. It's an illusion. Our battle is a spiritual battle, a battle between good and evil, right versus wrong. It has nothing to do with color. But they have told black people that, and blacks have believed that. And year in and year out, for the last 50 to 60 years, they have voted for the Democratic Party and received nothing in return. I wrote an article. I write for a website called worldnetdaily.com. And I wrote an article that there is that President Trump, the white savior to black people, because over the last 50 years or so, black people have had power. You have black congressmen and women. You have had black mayors and governors, black police chiefs, black preachers who have major, mega churches. And you've even had a black president for the last 8 years. And no black person has been able to do anything to enhance the lives of black people. President Obama had the power of the United States behind him. He had the military, he had the National Guard, he could have asked the police departments around the country to go in and clean out the gang violence and the drugs and give black Americans, those good folks who are living in those areas, a breather so that they could finally start building their lives. But they did not do that because they want black Americans angry, brainwashed, demoralized and dumbed down, because you cannot control a moral people. You have to demoralize them in order to control them. And so if they had gone in there and cleaned up those areas and allowed black Americans, the good folks, to start thinking for themselves, building their lives, it would put the Democratic Party out of business. That's why Obama and no other black person have done anything for black people for the last 50 to 60 years. So here comes Donald Trump. He says, you know, vote for me. It can't get any worse than what it is. The Democrats haven't done anything for you in the last 60 years to make your life a little better.
And he's right.
Yes. You know? And even though the blacks hate white people, President Trump loved them enough to go in to help enhance their lives. He is the white savior to black people.
Okay, so how specifically is Trump? I mean, you know, he said that, and that was an astounding statement. We've talked about all that. But what is Trump really going to do? I mean, it's too early to tell. Right. You know, he probably hasn't done anything official so far that I know of, at least. But, you know, what do you think he's going to do for the black community?
He's going to go in and clean out the gang violence, all the gangs and the drugs and the mayhem that's been going on in the black community. He's going to put a big, beautiful wall around the borders, and that's going to stop the illegal aliens from coming in and bringing more violence and drugs and gangs.
Well,
and
but forget about all that stuff, because someone's gonna call you a racist now, right?
They already call me Uncle Tom, sellout. You hate your mama, you hate your daddy, you hate your color.
Well, they could call you that too, right?
N-word. But yeah. I'm okay with that because I love what's right. I love my country, and I love them enough to tell the truth.
Right, but the one thing you didn't say, interestingly, about the border, maybe I cut you off too quickly and you didn't get a chance to, but controlling the border is simply an economic thing too. It costs a lot of jobs are taken away from people who already live in America. And you know what's interesting about this, Jesse, is that my Mexican friends, when I ask them, what do they think about Trump? They're here already, right? They think the border should be controlled. They don't have any big objection to him building the wall. I don't know any of these people that go to these anti-Trump rallies, really, that are like Mexican people that go and say, oh, God, that's so racist to build the wall. No, they're here. You know, however they got here, is a whole nother discussion. But they're here now. Okay. And they have become part of the country and they are paying taxes. And they realize, they're smart enough to understand, that if the border is controlled and nations have the right to control their border, their wages are going to go up.
Absolutely.
Just naturally. You don't need Bernie Sanders to increase the minimum wage by law. You just need to control the supply and demand of the marketplace sense that you don't have this very low-cost labor coming illegally from south of the border, taking jobs. Wages will naturally go up.
That's right. Well, that's what I was getting to, that is that once the borders is closed, shut down, and these people are deported, especially the criminals, started with the criminals first, it's going to open up for Black Americans, especially men, to get jobs. There are day labor work that they can be getting, construction jobs they could be getting. But they have not been able to do that because the employers have been hiring the illegal aliens and paying them little or nothing. And so you're absolutely right. You shut that down, the wages will go up, and you will find Blacks and Hispanics and anyone that's looking for a job willing to work those jobs. It's absolutely not true that Blacks will not work those jobs. You know, I have a nonprofit organization called Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, and we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. And part of rebuilding man is to help find jobs. And since early 90s, we've been trying to get the government to shut down the borders so that these people can stop coming in and taking over the jobs. For a while there, we would have Black men stand out on the corners early in the morning to get picked up for day work. But instead, the employers would pick up the Hispanics illegals and pay them under the table, and it omitted Black people. So the president, by putting the wall up, deporting the illegals, are going to help Blacks in the economic area as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. In your book, by the way, I've just got to say, your books on Amazon get incredible reviews. Yeah. You know, for example, the Antidote book has 72 reviews and 5 stars. The Scam book has 101 reviews and 4 stars. So congratulations on the success of your books here.
But thank you.
In the Antidote book, you talk about something you call the Starbucks syndrome. What is the Starbucks syndrome?
Well, what it is these people, they live in an illusion. They go and they pretend that things are well. They spend some money for a cup of coffee. Can you imagine paying $3 for a cup of coffee?
It's not Starbucks. It's $5.
Yeah, that's right.
So they live
this illusion. They're not living reality. They're spending what they don't have because they get a good feeling from it. It feels good, but in reality, they're suffering. Another example in my book, I write about Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin. And Michael Brown was the thug that was killed in Ferguson, Missouri, Trayvon Martin down in Florida. Both of those boys' fathers and mothers failed them. Their parents were not married. They were not together. With Michael Brown, whenever his father tried to go and pick him up from his mother's house, his mother gave him hell. She made it so impossible for or hard for the father to pick up his son, that he would have to send someone else over there to get him. And Michael went to live with his father after a while. And when he went to his father's house, his father was out of order. Didn't have a stable environment. So Michael went to live with his grandmother. By this time, his grandmother couldn't handle him. And so Michael became a thug because he felt unloved by his father and mother, no direction. So he became a thug. And as we all know, he ended up going into that store, robbing the store, went out on the streets there and attacked a police officer. He ended up dead. Same thing with Trayvon Martin. He became a thug because his father and mother failed him. And he's dead because of the failing of the parents. And Michael Brown is dead because of Michael and his failing parents, and so is Trayvon Martin. And rather than telling Black Americans, look, you need to get married, you need to raise your children, you need to become a good example so that they can grow up in the same manner, you have Barack Obama, all of the race hustlers, using this false illusion of racism. They gave Michael Brown a funeral that was fit for a king, and he was a thug. Because they wanted to give the impression that Officer Wilson was a racist white man and that he killed Black Michael Brown because of his color, when it wasn't that at all. But they did that in order to deceive Blacks, to keep them angry so that they could use them for personal gain. Obama managed to divide this country like no one else in the history of America. And I write about him in the book, too, is that he was raised without a father. So he has that same emptiness, that same void that Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, the Black Lives Matter folks who are, the Black Lives Matter organization is a far left, liberal, radical, evil, agitated group that's worse than the KKK. And Barack Obama invited them to the White House instead of repudiating them, even after chanting, what do we want, dead cops, when do we want it now? After they did that, some people went out and killed cops. And they are doing this because they don't have love in their heart. They yearn for their fathers. They're angry at their mothers. And they are blaming white Americans for their problems.
It really is mind-boggling how the left wing in the political arena always looks at the symptom, never the cause, it seems like. In any area of life, whether it be Trayvon and Michael Brown or you know, anything, just, you know, in welfare programs and stuff, it's always the symptom. It's never the underlying cause. They can't seem to look deeply enough. They always seem to take this very shallow cut at the issue. And like you say here, they glorify some thugs, right? You know,
yes.
It's a little
yes.
hard to understand with your accent. You were saying thug. That was the word you were saying.
Right. Thug.
Thug. Why is it that way? I mean, it's just expedient, is it, to play this sort of shallow political game of identity politics and so forth, rather than really doing the hard work of rolling up one's sleeves and looking at the cause here and saying, hey, we have incubated literally a couple of generations now of people into this cycle of disgusting dependency on government so that they will just keep voting Democrat. But it seems like a lot of those people wised up in the Trump election. By the way, just to be clear, and I've told my audience this, I'm not a big Trump fan by any means. I have some real issues with Trump, but I got to tell you, the way he won the Rust Belt was mind-boggling. It was historic. You know, I remember listening to an NPR show, and, you know, NPR is obviously very far leaning to the left.
Yes.
They were doing an interview in a Michigan town. They stuck a microphone in front of a woman, and she said, this town that always voted for Democrats for the last several decades went to Trump. And she said, look, all we heard on the campaign is we heard Hillary Clinton talking about identity politics, and Trump was talking about jobs, and we just want a job, you know?
Yep.
That's the first thing, right? Isn't it?
Yes.
You got to have your economic life settled.
That's
and
right.
And then you can deal with everything else, right?
We got to realize, and I know you do already, is that the liberal Democrats are children of the lie. They're about politics and power. They do not care anything about people. Not at all. It's about politics. Everything they do, everything they say is about politics, and they use people to get that. And so that's why they have been able to keep black people down. That's why, thank God, they lost this last election, because normal Americans are fed up with that now. They have suffered under Barack Obama when it comes to economics. They have suffered when it comes to safety, suffered when it comes to being one nation under God. And so they are fed up with that. They saw that Hillary Clinton would continue to carry out Barack Obama's desires, and even in a worse way. So they were not going to allow that to happen again. And I have to tell you, I am for Donald Trump 100%. When Donald Trump announced that he was running for president, and he said what he would do, put a wall around the borders, cut back on restrictions and regulations, lower the taxes, protect us from radical Islam, I said then Donald Trump would become our next president. And it was just an honor to see how he won everything, from starting with the right-o Republicans, ended up with Hillary Clinton. He fought against the media, the right-os, the Democrats, and other leaders around the world, and he won. When I woke up on November 9th, 2016, I woke up early, turned on Fox News, and they said that Trump had won. He is the president. I went to cloud nine, and I've been dancing on the ceiling ever since.
Well, okay, you're a fan. Hey, in your book on the scam, right, you talk about boycotting the NAACP. And we've got to wrap it up, of course, but just tell us about that for a moment.
The NAACP is a far-left liberal radical group that is for the Democratic Party and nothing else. They're for politics. They care less about black people. They have done nothing to unite the races. They have not encouraged black Americans to get married. You have 73% of black children born out of wedlock. They do nothing about that. Abortion out of control in the black community. Young girls having abortion. The NAACP done nothing about that. They support so-called same-sex marriage, homosexual marriage, and transgender and all that crap. And they have done nothing to help blacks to overcome their anger. So they are using black people for their own personal gain. So we don't need the NAACP anymore. And I'm asking black Americans to boycott them, because there is no need for the NAACP. They're only using black folks for their own personal gain. And so we've had this boycott going for a long time now. And I have to tell you, they've lost membership, they've lost money. They don't have the same influence that they had when we started out 27 years ago. They're evil people. There's no need for that anymore. Blacks need to take control of their own lives, stop hating, stop having these children out of wedlock, stop feeling like victims, and take control of their own lives. And I want people to check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/JesseLeePeterson1, as well as my website, rebuildingtheman.com.
Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, thanks for joining us.
I totally enjoyed talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to check out HartmanMedia.com for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice, or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.